Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody.
Amen, 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 amen. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I am elated. I am pumped up. I am excited that God is moving every day in our lives. God is moving in such a way that he's taking the old and turning it into new. And I'm telling you, this is something that can bless you. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word. You know, the scripture tells us in Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ears unto my sayings, let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Look at that reward when we follow God's word, when we allow our ears to be in tune, that we have ears to hear, and we attend to his word. It becomes life unto us as we find them, and health, medicine. You looking for the cure? You looking for the power to change your life? Oh, this medicine is good. Yes, this medicine is not like Father John or the three sixes. Oh, it tastes good. It tastes good. You know, when they changed that medicine back in the day that we used to take that tastes so bad and you used to run from it, and then they decide to sweeten it up and make it taste like cherry. Oh, yeah, God's medicine is that cherry. It tastes good, but it's a little different than that medicine. That medicine back in the day, it was iffy. But God's word is continuously moving to heal our body, heal our mind, heal our spirit, heal our soul. This healing is unbelievable. It is truly a blessing of blessings. Well, again, I'm excited for the golden opportunity to come before you and share the knowledge and wisdom of what the Holy Spirit has put in my heart to share. It was an amazing time this weekend for me. I pray that I would be transformed, and oh my goodness, hallelujah, the transformation is taking place. So let us pray, because as I go forward today, I pray that you will be transformed. You will be changed. You will be influenced to move on the path that God will give you. You will no longer lean to your own understanding, but in all thy ways you will acknowledge God, and you will allow him to direct your path. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for your love, your mercy, your grace. And Father God, as I get excited every day now about your forgiveness, oh Father God, everything that we do would be for naught if Jesus didn't get on the cross to forgive us of our sin. The wretched man that we once was, Jesus, like the man on the cross, he said, with you will you be in heaven because of the forgiveness. So that's something that one should celebrate every day of your life. As you take God's breath and strength into it, you walk knowing that you are forgiven. And I thank you, Father God, this day as we move forward, Father, that you would be transforming our mind every day, that, Father God, to eventually we will have the mind and heart of Christ this day. This day, Father God, we will celebrate you with praise and worship and glorify your name and thanksgiving, Father God, because you've given us so much that this fleshly vessel did not deserve. But because we are spirit, united with you in spirit, Father God, we are receiving the inheritance of your love. Thank you, Father God. Guide us and direct us as we go forward in you. I pray for the world, the country, the state, the cities, the communities, the neighborhoods, the family, and every individual, Father God. I pray for the elderly, the mature adult, the middle-aged adult, the young adult, the teenager, the adolescent, the toddler, the newborn, and the unborn, that they would jump in the womb, Father God. As you said, you knew us out of Chronicle before we were formed in our mother's womb. I thank you, Father God, that your plan for our life, Father God, is for us to prosper in you, a hope, giving us a hope and a future, not for harm. I thank you, Father God. I pray, Father God, this day that anyone that needs your healing power on their body, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, that every atom, molecule, cell, tissue, organ, and system that you properly designed, Father God, that you would call it a masterpiece, would be healed this day, Father God. Right this day, Father God, because this is the day you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. As I go forward, Father God, again, let me decrease. Let the Holy Spirit increase, that you will give me what to say. Give me what you told Jeremiah. Give me what to say. That, Father God, that will move us closer to you, so you will draw near to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Again, I am excited about our prayer conference we had this weekend. It was such a powerful, powerful, moving a part of my life, and I'm sure those who were there, Father God, experienced the same thing. Learning how to move and walk and talk and grow and mature and look at the benefits of what God is doing for us, despite of ourselves. God is good, and his mercy endureth forever. God's love comes with patience. God gave us the opportunity that one of my elders would say, God waited on us. And because he waited on us, that moment when we were having our prayer conference, many were being changed. Even if they had been walking and talking, tongue talking, Bible wagging, Father God, Christians who were moving forward, growth had begun to happen. Like a young boy, Father God, who once they were short, and all of a sudden they begin to grow. And they wonder where it's coming from, these new pains. But those growing pains were beneficial. Those growing pains help us to become more of what Christ wants us to be, image bearers of himself. So, oh, what a powerful conference. Oh, I've learned so much, and there's so much more to learn. But the beginning of my developmental process, if you will, spiritually, is moving me closer and closer to that spiritual maturity. Hallelujah. So I'd like to give you a few quotes for the day because I feel that these quotes were given to the individuals to help us, again, move forward in our development, to see ourselves from a different light, from the experiences that they had. Quotes are not just something to rattle off. They are the experience that an individual is trying to share, to transfer the thoughts and the images they had in their mind over to ours to help us to become more and more like Christ. Sometimes you have to weed through those that may not be walking in the light because we don't know the people a lot of times. But the message, the meaning should touch our heart to allow us to grow and move forward in the way that we should go. Here's one by Brian McGill. Real transformation requires real honesty. If you want to move forward, get real with yourself. Doesn't the scripture tell us, let a man examine himself? Hallelujah. Jeff Weiner says, you have to maintain a culture of transformation and stay true to your values. Our values are founded on Christ, so therefore we must remain true to it. Weiner Edhart says, you and I possess within ourselves at every moment of our lives, under all circumstances, the power to transform the quality of our lives. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Michael Hyatt said, do not fear failure. Fear being in the exact same place next year as you are today. If you're standing in the same spot today in your spiritual maturity, that you should be concerned about. Because God did not give us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. To take that power that God has given us and execute it through the sound mind that God has placed in us. Because now we have the mind and heart of Christ being moved by the Holy Spirit to move in the direction that he calls us to do. Hallelujah. Walk not in the doubt of being the best version of yourself. Strive to be all that God put in you to transform you to become the complete you. Myself, David Patterson. One can choose to go back towards safety or forward towards growth. We cannot remain comfortable. We can't get complacent. We must continue to grow. For when we grow, we begin to become that usage that God wants us to be, to go forward and be a blessing unto others, as we spoke a lot at the conference, to become iron that sharpen iron. Now, the scripture tells us out of 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all who have unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into the image with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. God is Spirit. Christ is Spirit. The Holy Spirit all helps to move our spirit to become into the completion of what God intended us to be, image bearers of Christ. Romans 12:2 said, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We want the good and pleasing, perfect will of God because Christ said himself, that not my will, but your will be done. That is where we should move, not leaning to our own understanding. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:5, may the Lord direct your heart into God's love and Christ's perseverance. And in 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no division among you. We know the house can't stand if it's divided, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. When we unite in mind and thought with the heart of Christ and have the mind and heart of Christ, yes, we are in line then. The heart, the mind, the soul, all as united can move as a unit and be more effective. When the five fingers come together and make a fist, it can knock walls down. Hallelujah. So I want to share a little food for thought for you. I put together to help us recognize that transformation takes place in many levels of participation. He that have ears to hear, let him hear as I share these thoughts. You see, for many across the world, it can feel that the constant hustle and bustle and that goes of life are too much for us to handle. We may question if we ever will see victory over the battle from the freedom for which we fight year in and year out. Sometimes it feels like our personal or professional battle will never end. Wonder if we will ever have the victory and the results of peace that we seek. The answer is yes, my friends, but only if we are brave enough to always continue to fighting our battles. We must continue to fight the good fight of faith. There may be times that we only have enough resources or restraint to keep the flame of hope lit for another day. But no matter what, keep the faith lit. It takes courage. This is a key word here, people. Courage. 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 As I used to tell my soldiers when they go to take the hill, that courage is not the absence of fear, but going into the midst of the thing you fear the most and trusting God that he will fight your battle. But you must at least take the first step. Leadership and a strong mentality to overcome the challenges that we face. David was a classic example of that. He faced the giant. He may have even had some internal fear, but he knew that the God of hosts would save him, would protect him, and would deliver the head of Goliath in his hand. So no matter what the odds, no matter who or what you have lost, keep going and keep the flame of hope lit. You see, the greatest discovery of all time is a person can change his future by merely changing his attitude towards how one views circumstances in life or decision one has made or even by people who should be a source of love and trust rather than hurt and pain. If you let those things win, then you are allowing the waves of life to toss you to and fro. Like Peter out on the walk, on the water, and was walking on the water. As soon as he saw the waves, they began to cause him to fear. He moved into doubt, and he allowed the waves to toss him and began the water to kind of bring him in. He started to sink, but he didn't know who to call, and he said, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached his hand down and pulled him from the water. Hallelujah. But that doesn't have to be the permanent state for you when you find yourself in that compromising position. Oh, no. When desire aligns itself with decision to change your attitude, it moves you toward the first step of not being afraid of the work and the pain that you must go through in order to channel the energy in order to build that better future of hope, where you can allow the Holy Spirit to take control of your life. I believe that even though the Holy Spirit had not come upon Peter and them at that time, but because he trusted God and he trusted Christ who had the Holy Spirit, he was able to take the first step and walk the water. Hallelujah. See, like Jesus, we will no longer allow the storms or the waves to toss us, but we will now take command of the waves and the storm to be still, to give us a new level of peace that will come upon us. Over time, we begin to win certain battles, such as our own personal war against the weaker version of ourselves, to become the true version ourselves of being image bearers of Christ. You see, when we change our attitude, begin to fly at the higher level altitude, like an eagle soaring high, we can see our greatness that shows us that we can see low. And when we see low, we know that we know how to attack it, as an eagle know how to go after his prey. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate the light of darkness, the new man will shine bright and great, and all we have to do is be humble and willing to participate. We have to allow ourselves to let Christ move in our lives. The show for today is transformation. Yes, the Holy Spirit put on my heart. Transformation. This is what's happening in our lives. Often I talk to people about change. The conversation ranges from personal change, relational change, social change, cultural change, and the list goes on depending on who you are talking to. Yet from a more specific perspective, transformation all begins with personal change. Many of us speak about it in some form or fashion, will attempt to exercise it, but only to a certain degree. For the most part, we want people, things, people, places, and things to change for our self-seeking wants and desires. I have noticed this in many others, including myself, that before we can contribute to the change of people, places, and things, we must first allow ourselves to be transformed. As I personally am beginning to truly be transformed into the image of Christ, for my eyes are being opened to understanding the difficulty of change. The difficulty of change. See, the scripture tells us that it's so important that we understand that change requires patience. So the scripture tells us out of James 1:3, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Imagine that. That you are perfect, spiritually mature, complete, whole in Christ, lacking nothing, because he supplies all our needs, and we know that we can access that. I had a gentleman say he don't really have to have anything as long as he knows he has people who have access to it. We have access to all the inheritance, all the benefits that Christ will give us. He tells us, forget not all thy benefits. Forget not all thy benefits. We shouldn't even forget them. You see, there's a book that was written by Jeff Bridges, a true modern classic work. Within the sixth chapter, which discussed sanctification or being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, Bridges looks at two different texts and ways of talking about the goal of the Christian life. And second, that's within 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, we are being transformed into Christ's likeness. Well, Romans 8:29 states that God's predestined all believers to be conformed to the likeness of his son. Bridges suggests that like Christ's likeness is God's goal for all who trust Christ, and that it should be our goal also. You see, both words, transform and conform, have a common root form, meaning a pattern or a mold. Being transformed refers to the process. Conform refers to the final product. Jesus is our pattern or mold. We are being transformed so that we will eventually be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. Sanctification or holiness, the words are somewhat interchangeable, then is conformity to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Conformity to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Back when I was in the Army, one of my commanders shared something with me years ago that had stayed within my heart about change that he had received from his mentor. They noted that the acronym for change was C was conflict, H was hurt, A was anger, M was network, G was growth, and E was expectation. You see, change is difficult for many to accept, but it happens whether we like it or not. Nothing remains the same, no matter whether you act or not. Change is happening. For as the acronym suggests, there will be some conflict because change can put one in a double bind. You want something different, but you have to grow. You have grown accustomed to that which you know. Many people are in situations and conditions, if you were a drug addict, you know you want to change, but the conflict puts you in a double bind because you physically require the drugs. But emotionally and mentally, you want to get off. I know physically you can get off because I brought people into the system, and because I ran medical units and hospitals, and from the mental health perspective, many will come in, and within a 30-day, even less, the physical need, the craving, is gone. But the part that really requires the transformation is the mind and the heart, the will and emotion. This can be very conflicting.
This can generate some of the disillusionment leading to hurt at various degrees, therefore causing one to be disappointed, which can lead to anger. Because things doesn't flow the way we think it should flow. Things don't go the way we think it should go. We get disillusioned. We get frustrated. And for some, it moves from, leads from hurt to moving into that anger. And if that anger has not been properly addressed through networking with other growth may or may not take place, and for which many of us keep us in an unreasonable, unrealistic level of expectation. Conflict, hurt, anger, networking is required in order for us to grow and change our expectation. In order to change our expectation. Are our expectations reasonable or unreasonable? Especially when we're dealing with other human beings. We have high expectations of others, but we have very minimum on ourselves. Let a man examine himself. We require others to do X, Y, Z, but we don't want to do it ourselves. Yet the sadness of it all and the illusion of it all is that we believe we're doing that. Many will say to others, I wish he wouldn't do this, and I wish he wouldn't do that, and I wish he wouldn't do this, and I wish he wouldn't do that, and then 2 minutes later, they're doing it themselves. Such as when I see people with road rage. All these people out of control. They're driving so fast. They're so disrespectful. They're so disregarded, and then you're running late, and you're driving fast. You're disregarding and disrespectful because you're weaving and bobbing through traffic. Yet you condemn someone else of something you do yourself. Do we change our expectation? But when we interact and we network with others, we can put those things that keep us angry or hurt in perspective. Therefore, taking away the challenge of the conflict that once kept us in a double bind. That we can move towards a single-minded attitude. Hallelujah. You see, this can stop the true transformation needed to become the new man God intended for us to be. Consider the caterpillar, what they must exercise for their transformation to take place. As the caterpillar, they must stop eating, hang upside down from a twig or leaf, and spin itself into a silky cocoon or moth in order to get this shiny chrysalis. Within that protecting casing, then the caterpillar radically transformed. You hear that word? Radically transformed. Some of us have to radically make decisions in a way that we can be transformed. We just got to cut it off. But it radically transforms the body, which eventually he will emerge into a butterfly, emerge into the image of Christ. However, without going through the transformation process, the true image that the caliper is supposed to become can't take place, which is to move from the old to the new, becoming. I heard the story. I haven't seen it from my own eye, but I heard the story that if one doesn't allow the turtle to break through the shell of the egg and someone assists them, they will not develop the strength to be able to deal with the water when they go into the sea. So many times we allow people to break our shell, to cause us to get weakened, and now allow us to develop our spiritual muscles in order to be able to walk into the power that God intended us to execute. But let me give you a brief story. One who was transformed to the point not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by renewing of his mind. Again, the scripture out of Romans 12:2 tells, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. What is good? What is good? What is the perfect will of God? Let's look at the story of Saul, who becomes Paul, the best version of himself for our Heavenly Father, for which our Heavenly Father had intended him to be. Acts 9, 1 through 19. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for the letter to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" Now, Saul, it's funny. Saul saw Jesus, but he also said, "Who are you, Lord?" He still called him Lord. Saul asked, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." One must follow instruction to be transformed. The men traveled with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could no longer see. He could no longer see. He could no longer see. So they led him by the hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and not eating or drinking anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. "Ananias." "Yes, Lord." "My sheep know my voice." Let me inject that. "My sheep know my voice," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on a straight street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." The Lord Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man. Your reputation precedes you, and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Suffer for my name. There will be some things that is uncomfortable. It says suffer for, in Saul's case. But you will experience some suffering, some disappointment, some letdown, some pain in order for you to truly become who God intended you to be. What is that? What is that? What he said that Saul would be? His chosen instrument to proclaim his name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered, placing a hand on Saul, and he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may again see and feel and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Hallelujah. He regained his strength. First, let's consider that Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Then he asked for a letter to the synagogue in Damascus in order to put anyone, whether man or woman, in prison who all belong to the way. What's the way? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But suddenly the light of transformation came from heaven, flashed around him, and the voice of Jesus said to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Then the sight of his flesh was taken because he was blind by the worldview, which caused his heart to grow cold. And even though he had a strong conviction for God, he was operating out of wrong heart motive. How many of us say we know God, yet we're operating out of the wrong heart motive? The wrong heart motive. I ask all the time, "God, search my heart. Put the floodlight on it, because I don't want my heart to have the wrong motive." Yes, I can fall short, but if I have the right heart motive, God can still use me as his instrument. His instrument. Hallelujah. However, in those 3 days he was blind, he didn't eat or drink anything, for now the water of the world could no longer quench his thirst, nor was the food that once sustained his life was appealing any longer. He needed the living water of God and the food that would give him true life substance. Yet when he come to accept that he was blind and was never really seen, the ignorance of darkness no longer could prevent the truth of God's knowledge to shine the light in his life, because God provided the light of the world for Saul to see, so that he may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit, for which the scales of the worldly prevention fell off Saul's eyes, and he could see again. Now he sees with the mind and heart of Christ. Our Heavenly Father opened up the door for him to be baptized, for the food of meat to move him away from the childlikeness of the milk he once drank from the worldly things that he was entapped to, the law. And here's where he began to gain the new strength, that now he could go forward and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. No longer am I moved by the things of the Pharisees' laws, but now I'm moved by what God has called me to do. My eyes are no longer blind to the darkness, but I've been open to the light of God's true knowledge. Yes. You see, Isaiah 40:31 tells us, but that for they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run but not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, you begin to soar like the eagle. You begin to soar like the eagle. The transformation that takes place takes you to a whole nother stratosphere. You see, transformation takes time. That's something like the butterfly. We must go through the process of change to become the new man God intended for us to be, which is the image bearer of Christ. When we begin to become the image bearer of Christ, we pick up his likeness, his character, and we begin to execute those fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, patience, mercy, grace, forgiveness through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You see why? Because in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it tells, therefore, anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's celebration time. Yeah, man. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. The more I hear the power of God's word, it is life unto me as I find it. It's medicine to all my flesh. It gets me pumped up. It gets me fired up. Oh, I feel like I'm the Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Olympian ready to go forward and be victorious, because now I have the strength of Christ. Oh, the transformation is worth going through the different things that you must go through. However, I must point out that the book Bridges brought the heart of the chapter that I talked about was 6. He explained this important point, which was revelation for me in my transformation of the role of the gospel in our sanctification. This is something we all know at one level, but something that many of us have difficulty explaining. He says, a clear understanding and supposition of the gospel, which gives freedom from sin's guilt and sin's grip, is in the hand of the Holy Spirit. A chief meaning of sanctification, to know the gospel and to continually apply it, is one of the means the Lord uses to conform us into the image of Christ. To the degree that we feel we are on a legal or performance relationship with God, to that degree, our progress in sanctification can be impeded. The legal mode of thinking gives indwelling sin an advantage, because nothing cuts the nerve of desire to pursue holiness as much as the sense of guilt. On the contrary, nothing so motivates us to deal with sin and I as does the understanding and application of the two truths that our sins are forgiven and the dominion of sin is because of our union with Christ. Let me say that again. We need to understand the cleansing of the conscience comes from guilt and sin. On the contrary, when I said nothing so motivates us to deal with the sin in our lives as does the understanding and application of the two truths, that our sins are forgiven and the dominion of sin is broken because of the union with Christ. Because of the union with Christ, the dominion and the power that sin once had over us is now broken. Chains have been broken. Chains have been broken. Now, as we need to understand, the cleansing of our conscience comes from guilt of sin, must precede our effort to deal with the presence of sin in our daily lives. And so we need the gospel to continually remind us that our sins have been forgiven in Christ and that we relate to the Lord through grace rather than the law. You see, the Sadducees, who once Paul used to hang out with as the Pharisees, always try to guilt people with the law. You see, Christ understood the heart. What's the heart motive? When they caught the woman in adultery and they threw on the ground, they had the wrong heart motive. Because first they just wanted to trip Christ up, but they also wanted to shame this woman. But Christ, smooth and cool, he looked down, he wrote in the sand, and he basically could have said this, you know, partners, if any of y'all have never committed adultery, you go on and rock that lady. But he said, nah. He said, any of y'all be without sin, you throw the first stone. See, no man is sinless. All have sinned and fall short to the glory of Christ. However, we are no longer under the law. We need to understand we are forgiven by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our specific responsibility is the pursuit of holiness, as seen again in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with everlasting glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Then, in this behold the glory of the Lord, as it displays in the gospel is the mirror through which we now behold his beauty. And therefore, until we see him face to face, we need to continue to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Let a man examine himself. For as we begin to look at ourselves and begin to preach the gospel to ourselves, we are like the new modern car. You just plug into that outlet, and then it begins to give a surge. It begins to give a charge to renew us, re-strengthen us, that we may go forward and stay in the race. For we are charged up. And as we are charged up, we are also charged to go out. And as we are charged to go into the world and preach the gospel, we must put the gospel in us, the good news, in order for us to let it come out of us so others can experience this good news itself. In conclusion, becoming new through the process of transformation starts off rough. May be difficult, may be confusing, may be unbelievable at times, but we must trust God's process of change in order to move away from being the Saul in order to become Paul. Well, one day we too can say, as 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I fought the good fight and I finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. Transformation, my people. Transformation. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For as we being transformed, moving away from the conformities of the world to be moving to the kingdom of God, to become joint heirs with him, to be kings and queens in with Christ, this is what we need to look at. This is what we need to entertain. And as we are bombarded with multiple distractions, multiple things that will stray us left or right, let us strive every day to think on these things, those things that are true, of virtue, hallelujah, of good rapport, praiseworthy. These things we need to focus on. Because if we find ourselves entertaining anything else, we get off track. But when we keep our mind, as the word would tell us, he that keep his mind on thee, he gives them perfect peace. Why? Because we trust him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As a soldier perspective would say, trust the process because God knows best. When we begin our transformation, we must allow our mind, heart, and soul to embrace, move, and enjoy the process we are going through. Like our body, there will be some growing pain, but like a youth growing spurt, we will look up one day and we're standing tall, strong, and victorious because we have become giants in Christ. We are comfortable in our own skin. And when this happens, here's where the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will begin. As we go forward, let's trust the process because our Heavenly Father knows best. We must remember he knows best. I know the plan I have for your life, plan for you to prosper, not for harm, to give you a hope and a future. You see, once we move that way, we can be like Jesus out of Mark 10, 35 and 45. Jesus explains that he came as the Son of Man to give his life as a ransom, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. My friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who have not learned to know about this beautiful life when you move into the kingdom life, if you will, you begin to recognize it ain't about you. It ain't about you. It ain't about me, myself, and I. But the one that loved us first, who would sacrifice his son for us, who will he himself would give his life and take it in his body our sins, that we could die to sin and live unto righteousness, where we could be healed in every area of our life. We just have to accept him as our personal Lord and Savior. You see, all we do, all we are to be is for to serve our God and to serve our neighbors as ourselves. And as I pray daily, I ask God, as we serve you, God, with all our mind, heart, and soul, and love our neighbors as ourselves, I ask you, God, to teach us how to love ourselves through Christ. Yes, you must love God with all we got, all is in our being, but we must love our brothers and sisters the same. Become that ransom. When we do that, we don't have to worry, because I know this to be true. A young man working on a farm, I know that when a farmer plants a seed and he cultivates it, eventually he will receive the harvest. So if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's really simple. It's basic ABCs. You accept him, you believe him, and you confess to the world that you have accepted him as being the one who died for your sins on the cross. And that now you have been forgiven. And then the developmental process began. The transformation began. And it may not be a cakewalk, as I said earlier, but oh, the cake is waiting on the other end. The rainbow that God promised, promised to the world, is waiting with the pot of gold. That pot of gold, we are joint heirs with Christ. So as you go through your week, embrace the process. Embrace the transformation. Because the rewards are great. Do not lose confidence. Because if you do not lose confidence, it have great recompense of reward. Don't lose the confidence in Christ. Continue to walk in the faith. Again, this has been a blessing to be able to come forward and share that which the Holy Spirit has imparted on me. I hope that you walk away with something, because if you walk away with something, you can begin to add to it. And as God adds more to it, God will help give you the increase. And as you get the increase, you will have an overflow. And when you have an overflow, you're not so stingy any longer to let that goodness go. You become a cheerful giver. And those that are cheerful givers, God love. It's been an honor, again, as always, and as I always like to say in parting, you pray for me, I'm going to continue to pray for you, and let's watch the miraculous transformation that God would do. Have a blessed week. We are victorious.